Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Sometimes you just want a bag of sausage rolls. And Matthew liked that joke so much, he honked.
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people's show. Come on to the premiere show, SmackDown.
It's the 28th of October, the year of our Lord, 1999. Christina Aguilera, still the number one hit, Genie in a Bottle, to rub me the right way. One of them puns. Disney's Tarzan was boring kids senseless across the nation.
Oh, pipe down. Pipe down.
It's a good
two
film.
Two worlds, one family. Trust your heart.
Different strokes.
No, it's not different strokes. Phil Collins did the soundtrack to most of Tarzan.
He did. This is a good film. I've watched it since, but at the time I'm watching this, as we'll see with the extreme SmackDown lugs, Tarzan, Disney or otherwise, was not what I was thinking about. Also, Resident Evil 2 is coming out for the Nintendo 64, one of the most impressive ports you'll ever see. Two CDs worth of game on one cart with the smallest FMV screen you'll ever see on a cartridge. But while all that is going on, somewhere in America... That country, that's right, Tom. Point out the window. That's right. That's the direction of America.
Over there.
Thank you. There was a show called SmackDown by a company called the WWF. But what happened on that show? Is it still around? How's Triple H doing after that snake bite? All these questions and more can only be answered by listening to the following an hour and a half or so of drivel. What was that, Tom? Tom, for the love of God.
Sorry, I'll put my trousers back on.
That's right. Excuse me while I whip this out. Tom Campbell and his friend Mafu, that other one. How the hell are you, Tom?
Welcome to the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown review.
Matthew, I got distracted by me dropping the thing on the thing. I hadn't forgot the name.
Mafu, I am in great spirits today.
Good.
I fell in love today. Fell in love because today, year of our Lord, December the 5th, 2019, I met Matthew's mum. What a delightful woman.
Yes.
I feel like that we in another life, we could have been more.
Depends, do you have any N64 games on you?
Mate, I have got WrestleMania 2000 with me right now. If you can go busy yourself.
Beat it,
I
mate.
Will go busy.
Beat it.
No need, mate. But... Matthew's mum came in. By the time you're listening to this, you would have maybe seen Matthew's mum make a cameo on the Cultaholic podcast, singing the theme tune, which and by now you will know why myself and the whole world have fallen in love with Mrs. Botchamania. Mrs. Botchamania.
That's right.
We're Ms. Ms.
Mrs.
Miss. Oh, it's Mrs. Okay.
Mrs.
This is the optimistic Miss.
Please say no.
Commander! How are you, Math? Are you well?
I am well. Yeah, she gets worried that she's embarrassing me. And I go, no, you embarrassed me when I was 12 in front of my mate. I'm 32 now. You're embarrassing you. Do you? Plus, my mum is in her 60s. She's looking good. She is more full of life than people my age that I know. A lot of guys I know have given up and gone, right, this is it. She's still meeting new people, going and doing new things. Coming to Newcastle upon Tyne to meet her favourite podcast people. She only listens to one, so vicariously. She's also the least favourite podcast people.
I like how she's not here to see her son. She's here to see her favourite podcast people. Oh. She's not here to see her boy.
Yeah, she was milling around because Jack was late, which is completely atypical for that lad.
And I'm sorry, I'm late. I was on the old quiet puppet Jack.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, she met puppet Jack. She's thrilled with that. And she did an intro and all this, and she was like nice, and she bought chocolate. And yeah. I just go, look, here's me mum. Want to say hi? That's it. Mum.
Your mum was class, and I hope to see her again. Don't look at me like that.
What will I be to you if you marry my mum?
The luckiest boy on earth. You will, mate. You will never be short of N64 games. Also today, right? Today is a double whammy of a day. Not only have I met the future ex Mrs. Campbell, but I've also but we are celebrating here at Cultaholic because last night on NXT, so this was last week now as you're listening to this, during the ad break of NXT, myself and Ross Tweddle appeared on the big screens at Full Sail University blasting out Don't You Forget About Keith. NXT. Right, one of my goals in 2020 was to go to NXT. I think that counts. I've now technically been in Full Sail University. And if you were one of the many, many people that retweeted, liked, hated the video that myself and Ross put out on Twitter, thank you. You made that happen. Even you, Glenn Gilberti, who took the time to rubbish what we did and start a little bit of a hate campaign about it, right? Even you are partly responsible for that. So thank you, Glenn. I love you. Never stop loving you.
Yeah. And Tom knew something was up when he woke up and his wallet literally exploded with internet money.
Mate, I have got internet money coming out of the wazoo right now. I have got all the internet dollars. So many internet dollars. I don't know what to do with them all, mate. What do you do with all your internet dollars?
I buy haircuts.
Is it internet haircuts?
Yes, that's why they're crap.
You get an internet haircut and you'll get people going, it's rubbish that is.
Yes. Well, I'm very happy for your success, Tom.
Thank you, mate.
But that's current.
It was quite the time.
That's current. No. Refresh your head. Get rid of the bits on the side of the TV from 16 to 9 to go 4x3 for the Year of Our Lord 1999. And what I was going to do after last week's podcast got a lot of positive feedback for the Sonic the Comic references, I was going to do Resident Evil 2, Disney Tarzan. What was happening in Sonic the Comic in 99? However, that's not that good of an idea because by that time, the issue would become one new story and nothing but reprint.
Really? By 1999?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
The issue that came out during this time, it was a fortnight, so obviously not going to do the same gag next week. Oh, that would be silly. Was, let's see, one new story, and it was Sonic Goes to the Super Zone. And even with the nice artwork, it was just a crap story. It was a retread of Sonic going to meet some superheroes they'd already done previously. And it's like, okay, maybe if there's one naff Sonic main story that just doesn't go anywhere, it's self-contained, maybe there'll be some good stuff. It's all reprint. So we got Knuckles and the Ghost Ship.
That's a good series, though. Yeah, I like Knuckles and the Ghost Ship.
The beautiful Nigel Dobbinart.
It's where we met Captain Pugwash, Captain Plunder.
Captain Plunder, who I only, by researching this, found out he's supposed to be a walrus.
Yeah, cool, yeah, the big teeth.
Oh, it's just a dude.
Yeah, those are just a dude. Yeah. They're all animals. They're all aminals.
But Robotnik's not. He's an egg.
He's an egg. He is an egg.
Anyway.
Robotnik is an egg or a Jim Carrey.
Tails and Zone Runner. When he was cosplay as a...
Zone Runner and the Flock. This is where Tails ended up in a weird zone. A weird zone where everybody thought he was this amazing superhero that he told his parents about. Like he kind of fed these lies to his family back home that he was the one saving Mobius and not Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah. So this little sect, kind of bit like Blade Runner-esque, Tails.
Oh yeah, the big coat. Yeah.
Tails got called upon them to say, "Hey, look, we've heard all the stories about you being this amazing hero. You need to help us, Zone Runner." You know, so it was very Blade Runner-y. I remember from Sonic the Comic. That's so cool.
It's just like the Three Amigos style. Like, wow, if you're as good as you say you are, come and say, oh no, and then it's Tails would end up. And this is the one with the big freeze where, I forget the name of the robot. I had a real mad on for him. I forget where I read that
term. Is it Cog?
Maybe. But the first time he defeated him...
Nuts and Bolts!
Nuts and Bolt, that was it.
Why is that dormant in my brain? Nuts and Bolt.
Nuts and Bolt.
Nuts and Bolt.
He beat him the first time because he was chasing after him, but he just come and tell him the automatic door, almost like Red Dwarf. Shut the door, really well, shut the door. All right. Door opens. Like, what? It's like, aha! And then the door shuts, and then shuts again.
Oh, yeah!
And then shuts again, and then shuts.
Yes, I remember that.
I don't know why. He's like, beating him. He's like, you killed Nuts and Bolt, you're so good. He's like, yeah, I am. And also, the other reprint was... Don't worry, lads, there is some SmackDown coming.
What I'm going to do is, if you look on the... If you genuinely can't be arsed, listen to me and Matt warble on, there's a timestamp in the podcast comment section here. And you can just jump straight to the SmackDown stuff. You're welcome. Which you've now discovered 9 minutes
in. Yeah, be like, well, we're near the end now. I might as well listen to this thrilling bit to conclude it. It was Disaster, which is basically them doing Sonic and Knuckles. It ends with Sonic knocking Robotnik off the floating island. And one of those...
Oh!
Like Foley falling off the cell. Oh! Oh my God. Except it's not like Foley falling off the cell. It's like Triple H at Survivor Series 2000. Because you go, well, he's dead then, isn't he? And it shows Robotnik and like some bandages going, I'll get him next time. I'm like, ah, where? He fell off the floating island in a suit. He's like, I'm a bit wounded.
They do very much vary the how damaged works in Mobius and in the Sonic comics. Because sometimes you can fall... from a mighty height, and that's at the end of your character, where sometimes you can just be covered in bandages in the next shot going, oh, I'm all right.
Yeah, well, we found that with Johnny Lightfoot. Press F. Thanks, Sonic the Comic, the podcast, Chris McFeely, and Demon Tomato Dave, and also the kind souls that sent them our links. I'm like, these nerds are also talking about Sonic the Comic. They were very kind in the responses.
Thank you, Sonic the Comic.
Never
podcast.
Mind that. People clicked on for one thing. That's not my mum. It's not Sonic the Comic. It's SmackDown. Jesus Christ, Lord Almighty. We have seen some nutty episodes of SmackDown on time. This. All right. Recapping of Raw.
Before we get into that.
Tom. Go on.
Just a few very quick notes from the Wrestling Observer. Coming up on WWF television very soon. The life and death of Owen Hart, a 1-hour documentary on TVO, which is coming up on American channels on the 3rd of November in this year, so in a couple of days after this podcast. And a lot of stuff in the
2019.
No, 1999.
Oh, because you have to...
We are back in 99.
Yeah,
now.
Okay, yeah, that confused me then. Sorry.
And also in this particular year, there was loads of stuff in the Wrestling Observer regarding wrestling autobiographies. The whole thing being that Regan Books signed this deal with the WWF to make a load of wrestlers' autobiographies, like a bit of cheap merch money. Like The Rock's book came out called The Rock Says, and it was ghost-written, and it was poor. China's book came out called If They Only Knew shortly after.
What I'm going to do to you.
And that was ghost-written, and that was really poor. Mick Foley said, well, no, I don't want a ghostwriter. Mick Foley experimented with a ghostwriter before this book came out, and he just went, the ghostwriter's completely missed all the point of my story, so I'm just going to write this book myself. And Have a Nice Day was born, and it became a New York Times number one bestseller. And that was something they talked about quite a bit in this issue of the Wrestling Observer, which is wrestling autobiographies, and it does explain why so many of them were toss.
Yeah.
There was some talk. The Rock's one was dreadful.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell it was written by somebody who just couldn't give a monkeys about wrestling.
I got Mankind's one, loved it. My brother got Rock Says, and he was like, oh.
And the size difference should have given it away. Like, Mick Foley's was, you could kill a small country with it. It was that thick. Whereas the Rock's one
Gaddafi.
I think the Rock's one was about 9 pages.
Yeah, and it was half... Well, I did this, and I went to college, and then half, The Rock did this, and The Rock was like, oh, God.
Just hell.
You couldn't have got a good ghost to write this. Anyway, never mind. I don't care about Wrestling Observer. This SmackDown episode. Is anything else, Tom? I'm being very...
That is everything.
I'm on the blocks going, vroom,
get vroom. Us underway with this week's edition of SmackDown.
Right. The recap from Raw is essential. DX is back together. It's a bit inexplicable, kind of, but it does start to make more sense as it goes along, which WWF did very well during this period. During an Austin Rock versus New Age Outlaws tag match, X-Pac came in and interfered, and was like, wait, why is X-Pac interfering? Triple H came out, it's like, oh, the band's back together. Wow, all right. And that segues
and
right
that
into the opening
segment.
And that
is pretty much how it gets there, isn't it?
Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, X-Pac doing... they have to basically stand behind Triple H in the same way that, you know, Vincent and Scott Norton and Ray Taylor would have to do this on Nitro for months, like, yeah, arms folded, woo. It's Triple H sounding more like NXT Triple H, I felt. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. X-Pac teases a new member of DX joining tonight. Billy Gunn challenges Steve Austin, proving he is the wrestling equivalent of Charlie Brown trying to kick the football. And the crowd, while this all is happening, it's interesting because they're still cheering them because DX were cool. And it's X-Pac, it's UH Outlaws, they're still the cool guys. It's only Triple H who's the head diddler.
And does the Road Dogg challenge the Rock at this point as well?
Yes, he does.
Yes.
And Triple H tries to replace Vince or something. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about this whole bit. So like Triple H asks Vince McMahon to come out and join him. And Vince comes out and in like the most guttural Vince voice ever says, "I'm here tonight, we got two hands on you." Like really guttural. To which Triple H replies with, "We've got three words for you." Which were?
Well, it's three if you don't count the on the end. By the way, we're taking over. Which might... Wait, hang on. So at this point, WWF was still feuding with WCW, even though that was becoming less and less a war and more of a... I'm feeling a bit bad. Let's beat up WCW.
Yeah.
That's what NWO would say quite often. The fact where the BWO made it their catchphrase to mock the NWO.
They did, yeah.
Every week they'd say we're taking over. We're taking over this armory right here. So I'm like, okay, is that a jab? Was it too later on? No, because they'd repeat this phrase. Like, no, we're taking over. It's like, oh, you're being serious with this? Okay, because I'm pretty sure in those WWE versus WCW Monday Night War stuff, you went, well, NWO tried to look all cool and badass all the time, and NWO, and the X got to, like, get their asses handed to them. That's why we were the cooler dudes. And this is them doing NWO. Like, no, we're back. We're back, and we're serious. And why is that? Because we really need to push Triple H. So it's like, okay, where's this going? It goes places, don't worry.
So this whole thing has come about because Triple H has... it's wrong to say that he's floundered as a top heel, a solo top heel, because like it's not for the want of trying. Like, Triple H gets a lot of stick in later years for the way he conducts himself, but... Do you know what? Like, I think watching this back, he couldn't have done any more for everybody he was in the ring with, and he couldn't have done any more with the stuff that he had.
Right.
And it was just not clicking. So the DX getting back together thing did feel like a bit of a rush move, because obviously that's a hot prospect that you could still technically do with everybody kicking around.
Right. The New Age Outlaws had only just got back together a month ago. X-Pac had the Kane thing and was popular. So it is almost like sacrificing those guys to get Triple H over, which, ordinarily you go, that's a bit of a waste, but Triple H is supposed to be the number one bad guy on the brand. So it's like, that makes sense. And, you know, Flair had the Horseman, Hogan had NWO and NWO Red and NWO Diet and NWO Raspberry. So it does make sense to have this, like, okay, we're going to boo you. Now you've got a posse. No, not that posse.
No, it's true. It's the classic henchman formula of like, I am the champion now. I will hire people around me to make sure that the belt stays here. That's essentially right. What Triple H did here.
Yeah, and how are they going to get around the fact that nearly all these guys are loved? Oh, we'll find out, Tom. But meanwhile, Edge and Christian are walking backstage to segue the next bit, and the pop is very impressive.
Yeah, I heard this big reaction for Edge and Christian wandering around. It was time. It was at this point when you started to realize actually these guys are stars. We got a sense of it in the ladder match, and like when you heard the reaction, this is like now the crowd have woken up to the idea of Edge and Christian.
Yeah, because they've always said in the documentaries, "Oh, did this match, and it was all upwards from there." And you look at the thing, like, not quite. Oh, yeah. that pop! The crowd was ready for them.
Very rarely do you have like a star trajectory that is completely like 0 to 100. Like every major star that you look at, they do flounder for a while. Even Steve Austin.
I was going to say Steve Austin's a famous one. Where they go, he did that promo and he was main event. Yeah. No.
Austin 316 said, I was in the kickoff show against Yokozuna.
Yeah.
Basically, after King of the Ring.
Did literally nothing until Bret Hart was like, you know what, I fancy beating up Austin.
Yeah, it's true. And I think Bret Hart went, actually, I fancy beating up Shawn Michaels. Oh, I can't. I'll beat up Steve Austin then. It's basically
You're from Texas, right? They all look the same to me. But meanwhile, the JVC Kaboom Boombox of the Week. Christ. Shane McMahon jumping off the cage during, yes, you're ready for this, Bulldog versus Test on Raw. Shane McMahon jumps off to take out the posse who interfered. What a great moment.
Yeah.
By the way, Test lost a bulldog because he's Test. Speaking of useless, Test and Steph are walking backstage and say hi to the Stooges.
Steph is in her orthopedic shoes.
Orthopedic head.
Throws bin.
She has regained her memory and Lola hopes she remembers what a loser Test is. Well, a point that I cannot argue against. Well done, Lola. I believe the JVC boombox of the week was for Lola's line.
The kaboom of the week was Lola calling Test a loser.
Yeah. The Hollies are here. That's right, both of them. They defend their tag titles against ENC on Raw, but Too Cool made their return and triumphant repackage.
This was ace because I remember watching that episode of Raw and remembering too much, being like, oh, they're a bit wussy, they're a bit wimpy, those guys. And then said, oh, wow, they're wearing street clothes. And I even remember thinking, oh, this... I even sort of thought, oh, I get this, the fix is in now. They're trying to make all the crap tag teams cool. Like, and that's what Too Cool are. They're like, oh, they're literally calling them cool. That's what I thought was going on.
The repackaging they did here for all the tag teams during this period, as we'll see in the next few weeks or even months, is amazing. So Too Much, they've been around for a bit. The only thing I remember them doing prior to being Too Cool was the King of the Ring 98 match against Al Snow and Head. And Brian Christopher beat them by putting Head and Shoulders up Head and pinned him.
You can see
why that might be remembered.
A bottle of Head and Shoulders, wasn't it, that he used? And then they went, yeah, his head and his shoulders were down. Stunning work.
Did lots of them. And the only other thing was the tease. I haven't done any research on this. I do apologise. It was speculated that they were going to do a gay marriage angle with Christopher and Taylor.
I heard this rumour too.
I don't remember there being any. There's some teasers of it on episodes of Heat, apparently. But, you know, it's the... So they said, how about we don't do that? Take some time off, blah, 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 repackage. They take the time to go to Michael Cole and come and go, it's not too much, it's too cool. They are not Brian Christopher and Scott Taylor. It's Grandmaster Sexy, which it was always fun seeing Jim Ross try to pronounce that, and Scotty Too Hotty. So ENC are wrestling Too Much.
Were they in there?
You idiot. Too cool.
Oh, even you've done it now. Jeebus. Were both these lads in their 40s at this point? Because I feel like Scott Taylor, particularly has been around for a long time.
Right.
On the sister podcast to this, the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review. Very often, Scott Taylor turns up as sort of enhancement fodder. Yeah. So he's been around the WWF for a long time, on and off, and this is his first real sniff of anything worthy.
Right, and Brian Christopher had been around for donkeys, and unfairly, I feel at the time, a lot of internet writers would look at that and go, the WWF's got a light heavyweight division. This is going to be great. Ooh, like Psicosis and Rey Mysterio Jr. Instead, they got Brian Christopher and whoever was around. But look back at it now, and he was amazing as basically the Enzo Amore of 205 Live, because he was bigger than most of them.
Yeah.
And he was such a dick. And he's so good at it. His delivery, his cadence, that Lady and the Tramp hyena laugh. I mean, yeah, it was really entertaining. If you're looking for, you know, oh, this is going to be, you know, like they have on the other brand. No. There's no Super Carlo here. Just Super Brian. So other than this match happening, the Hollies are commentating. And there's a lot going on this. Because not only will we look at the Too Cool situation, the Hollies riffing on Edge and Christian, specifically Christian, about how they are not super heavyweight is amazing.
This is their constant spiel, though, isn't it?
I've heard Holly say this about Christian in another match ages ago. But so I don't remember this. He goes, Christian, we all know, wraps ace bandages to look better. Lola joins in. If you put a nickel on his head, he'd look like a nail.
Oh, Christ.
Edge and Christian could be on the scale at the same time, and they still wouldn't hit the super heavyweight limit. I mean, they are having a hell of a time. And while that's going on, Edge and Christian, very nicely, letting Too Cool get all the cool stuff in, including Scotty Too Hotty hitting the worm.
To which Michael Cole says, oh, that's the worm. I think that was cool about 5 years ago. Michael Cole, mate, you have no idea what kind of money you are attempting to push off the table here.
Wait, have a golf clap there. Michael Cole. Sexy nails a, good God, sunset flip to the outside powerbomb. Christian gets slammed to the outside like a steak falling off a table.
Such an unnecessary move, like unnecessarily violent, added to by the fact that as soon as he dropped it, like Sexay just starts doing his dance.
Starts shooting.
He just killed a man. Gosh darn it.
And Crash Holly, as if there's not enough cool stuff for the Smash, Crash Holly, with the referee being distracted, as happens every single match that happens on SmackDown. Crash Holly, and I wondered if this ever happened. I'm very glad we're doing this podcast. We'll get to see it happen. Gets the scales up and uses it as a foreign object and slams Edge in the head and costs him the match. And I had no idea if that had actually been used as a proper weapon outside of WF No Mercy.
See, I don't recall them ever actually being used as a weapon. Not even in No Mercy. I remember you could equip it in No Mercy.
Oh, God, you're right. Yeah, sorry, it was the entrance.
Yeah, you can't use the entrance, but you couldn't use them in the match.
You know what you could use as a weapon in No Mercy?
What?
The Rock says...
Oh, yes, you could pull the book out, couldn't you? Gosh.
So then Too Cool and the Hollies beat up Edge and Christian. Oh. Great way to repackage Too Cool. And especially Edge and Christian, more than happy to take these ridiculous bumps. Maybe the benefit of hindsight is like, could you not get another team? Because Edge and Christian are right now getting this great crowd reaction. But as we'll see, their mega push not going to happen until next year. And Too Cool ended up being quite a thing, so it's all right. Meanwhile, Big Boss Man shows up with the clip of this. Jesus Christ. This is one part of a crazy episode of SmackDown. Big Boss Man showed up on Raw with Big Show's dad's watch to distract him. So Prince Albert... off the rebound, that his relationship with Droz is over, attacks Big Show and knocks him off the stage with his thing. So Big Boss Man destroys Big Show's dad's watch with a hammer and anvil that happens to be on the stage.
You know,
just cuts
that
like,
standard
Big Show's dead.
Hammer and anvil that you always find backstage at a WWF event.
It's like, oh, Big Show's being kicked in the head and he's off the stage. Cut. There's an anvil. A proper anvil and a proper hammer. So, on SmackDown,
talk us through the Big Show bit, because I am a little bit flabbergasted. Right, talk us through it. What happened?
Big Show is being interviewed by an interviewee, and he says he's going to leave before he does something he regrets.
Right, so he stood there, and it's JR that's interviewing him. They've pulled JR off a Monday night, and they're using him here. And he's got like the remains of his dad's watch in his hand.
Oh, he did.
Okay. I'm leaving before I do anything. Right. You've just arrived. Because the show is now, 20 minutes in. In theory, you've only just turned up. So you've arrived.
You're right.
No, nothing has changed. Like, this hasn't... The watch smashing thing hasn't happened a minute ago. It happened on Monday. So you got to work and then probably realised... Actually, no. And also, I'll do something I regret. You're meant to be getting your revenge on the Boss Man.
I think...
Batter the guy!
This was supposed to be like during Raw or after Raw, and they forgot to put the graphics up, because why would Jim Ross be a backstage interviewer, and why would Big Show be... Like...
Well, no, because...
That's a big continuity.
No, it's right. It's right, because JR isn't on SmackDown. JR's not the lead announcer on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Why would JR go backstage during Raw if he's commentating?
But why would Big Show show up with the watch that he's apparently been carrying around for days?
Because wrestling! SmackDown earlier today, it says at the very start. I just pulled it up very quickly on the network. And it says SmackDown earlier today.
So he's arrived early.
So he arrived early to leave before the show started, which is...
Oh, he's the first to get here, first to leave, Big Show.
He's like got half the John Cena ethos, right?
No wonder he was
I'm
in the
first in the building and the first to leave. No, you got to be the last to leave. The last to leave? That means I'm here for ages.
No, I'm first to leave. First to get here. No wonder he was in the union. Go on, Tom.
I was just very confuzzled by this. But it's okay, because I don't really have much time to process it. Because here's Mark Henry.
Don't stop and try and process some of the stuff on SmackDown. This is a roller coaster of emotion. My God, poor Big Show. Poor Big Show's dad. Poor Big Show's dad's watch. That his dad snuck up his ass while he was in an internment camp for years. That's a Pulp Fiction thing that was going nowhere. Oh, God, that's so horrible. Hard left. Mark Henry, soaking wet with sweat, drenched. You'd think it was raining outside and he'd run to the shop to get some milk. Lets two women out of his room, and I quote, two of the skankiest hoes I've ever seen, says Law.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
That's right. It says Lawler, noted hoe lover. And lets two more skanky hoes in. And he's like, whew, ready for round two. And Henry is like Homer Simpson in the Halloween episode being fed all the donuts in the world. But instead of donuts, it's nasty sex.
But I kind of like, this is, I like this idea of the storyline with the Godfather and Mark Henry in the sense that, like, Mark Henry is a sex addict. So the Godfather's gone, hey, I can get you all the sex you need.
Just you,
mate. Like, that makes kind of sense.
Just you wait. Just you wait till the end of the episode. Tom, by the way, because my mum, due to mum interference, like SmackDown.
Mum interference.
Tom hasn't watched all of this, and I'm so happy. It only gets nuts.
I'm excited.
Please, you thought the comic bits at the start of this episode were going to be the highlight. Oh, ye of little faith. So Mark Henry has sex. Meanwhile, Jerry Lawler's source tells him, are you ready for this? The Rock is arriving very shortly. So he's the last to show up.
Can't Big Show and The Rock like ride together? So that between them, they'll get there at roughly the right time. Big Show got there too early. The Rock's getting there too late.
The Rock's like, The Rock is really sorry he's late, but there was a phalanx of women, nasty women and nasty cars blocking the highway.
Queuing outside Mark Henry's room.
It's like, you can't see where the cars end. It's just truckloads of, right, like cattle.
I am taking massive umbrage with the way that Vince McMahon runs his company. Okay, right. You've got The Rock turning up late. The show is in progress and The Rock is turning up. You have the Big Show who got there hours before and is leaving, like, before the show started. And then you've got some people who are there, like Mark Henry. He's not wrestling. He's just taken over a dressing room and he's just having sex with prostitutes in it. Like, if this was, like, imagine, right? Imagine if this was how Cultaholic was
run. Oh, God.
Right. So, like, like, Sam's been here since R4 this morning. Ross turned up about 3 hours before the end of his shift. Well, where's Jack? He needs to record this. Oh, no, he's taken the downstairs studio. He's just filling it with prostitutes. Like, this
That last bit's accurate.
I mean, all of that is accurate. No, but you couldn't run a company like this.
You are right, Tom.
And then what's Vince doing? He's too busy, apparently, not running the company, because now Triple H runs it because we run by the system of I said so there.
Yeah.
If, I don't know what's going on this week.
It's easy to see how Jeff Jarrett, IC title with no contract, happened, isn't it? And I like to think that The Rock deliberately comes in late because Big Show came in early and his dad's watch got smashed. He's like, how about The Rock just takes it easy? You know? How great would that be? To try to do the Big Boss Man storyline with The Rock. Aha, I smashed your dad's watch and 50 Samoans show up. They're like, oh God, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Let me get this. I'll go get another one. All right, I'm sorry.
Rocky Johnson and High Chief Peter Maivia just leading out a Samoan dynasty.
Come on, Afa, Jimmy.
Manu.
Y2J is here.
Y2J, go away, says the sign carried by two really awkward people, presumably as they're off to join the queue to have sex with Mark Henry.
No. That line was brought to you by Duncan Yo-Yo.
By Lux.
Twix. And WWF Volume 4.
Oh.
Nice.
WWF The Music Volume 4. Was that the one that had pie on it?
No, that was Volume 5.
Oh, okay.
Volume 4 is the green,
yeah,
whatever.
You
it's
are
got
correct.
That crappy H-Block song on. But apart from that, the rest of it's a great
album. Yeah. Sometimes I drink a little beer.
That was the pay-per-view song for
No Mercy,
which you can watch or listen to, of the watch-along classic. And all I know is the last 20 minutes are some of the most self-serving stupid stuff we've ever done.
We had
and that's
some
all
lovely
the
messages.
Comments I've got. Tweet about that.
We had some lovely messages. But do you know what? When if you've tweeted us and gone out of self-serving, self-loving, da-da-da-da-da, last 20 minutes of that show, I went, yeah, but you listened all the way to the last 20 minutes.
No, I'm saying it's self-serving. And people loved it.
Oh, okay.
Whatever I'm criticising it because it was the stupidest thing we've ever done.
It's brilliant, mate. I think that's how we need to do every watch-along now.
Apparently we have to.
Yes.
I'll be all right with that. Meanwhile, Jericho was upset at Stevie Richards and had to pause and go, wait, really? Okay. He's hitting above his weight, isn't he? He teamed up with Stevie Richards on Raw to lose to D'Lo Brown and Chyna. He adds, that woman. So he's going to beat the hell out of you, because Jericho was getting the whole, oh, I just need some slogans. Mm-hmm. Which he still does very well.
Oh, yeah. He does. What I like about Jericho is he does throw a lot of you-know-what at the wall and sees what sticks.
Yeah. A lot of stuff does stick.
He throws a lot of bubbly at the wall and sees what sticks.
Instead, wait, no, hang on. That's China's music. Here comes China. That's not China. Oh, it's Stevie Richards. Dressed as China, which was his gimmick at the time, with incredibly untanned ass. Stevie Richards looks like one of those pink and white nuggets. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That is your visual image. Brought to you by Twix. Eventually, China interrupts a completely heatless match. No one cares about this. Oh,
Stevie Richards would have spent ages getting into that outfit. I believe it was one of China's outfits that he squeezed into.
Yeah. So China interrupts because she's taking exception to how Jericho was bringing up the fact that she's a woman. And she has Miss Kitty with her, who was dressed as China. So there's two people in one match cosplaying as China. Forgot that. Very strong Alien Resurrection vibe.
Everybody wants to be China.
Anyway, she strikes Jericho mid-sunset flip, so Stevie Richards gets a win over Jericho. Good God. And then I believe China gets Miss Kitty because if I've seen Orange is the New Black, and I believe I have, I think if you beat the dude, you get their bitch.
I mean, that's how it works. I think that is how it works.
Yeah. So this is to strengthen the Jericho-China feud. And Jericho is near enough taking Jeff Jarrett's act and going, yoink.
Yeah, it just seems like I feel like that if Jeff Jarrett hadn't gone, this is probably what they would have been doing.
Can you see Jeff Jarrett losing to Stevie Richards on SmackDown?
Yeah, I can, because they treat him so badly at this point in the company. I think he probably would have done.
Oh, yeah, you know what? After the contract, they go, yeah. I think, you know what?
I think... I think Jericho would have probably carried on feuding with Ken Shamrock. Had Shamrock not left.
Oh, yeah.
And then Jarrett obviously left. So I feel like they've just kind of gone and merged the Jericho and China feuds, mashed them together. And this is obviously building towards Chris Jericho eventually becoming the Intercontinental Champion.
And what, very nice. And what I do like is how no one's just doing nothing. Stevie still has his gimmick, even if no one cares about it. Prince Albert is now a Big Boss Man because he had nothing to do once draws, you know. And Miss Kitty, well, Jeff Jarrett's gone. Sorry, I got some on my throat.
That's right,
Jeff Jarrett, it's Jeff Jarrett in my throat. He's holding me up for money. Yeah, so she's going, oh, well, China. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, I suppose it's... I don't think it's the feud that... I don't think this is the feud that brings out the best in Chris Jericho, but it certainly turns him babyface fairly sharpish.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think they really wanted. I think WWF really wanted the universe to get behind the idea of China as Intercontinental Champion, and I like the idea of, like, you know, the mixing it up like that and saying, like, this is a woman holding a man's belt. They haven't really done that since. I'm trying to think. I don't think they have.
What, woman holding a man's belt? No,
with the exception of Molly Holly briefly holding the hardcore title.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
one of the Godfather's
and
hoes.
The Godfather's hoes. That's
one
right.
of the Godfather's hoes. I think Trish Stratus was briefly hardcore champion. And obviously Maria Kanellis winning the 24/7 title.
Oh, okay.
Among other people. So they've Kelly Kelly. But they've not really had that. So like a woman has competitively held a men's belt. I think if anybody anybody in the circuit right now could probably do that. It's Tessa Blanchard.
Mm.
She's certainly positioned in such a way on Impact that she's going to become the Impact World Champion before the end of next year.
Yeah,
which I'm all for. I like the idea of Tessa Blanchard just battering like dickhead men for a year.
Yeah.
As the Impact World Champion, more power to that.
Yeah, I'm all for that. If it means Sami Callihan, yes, go Tessa.
Oh, Sami's good. Sami's good foil.
No, look, I like him, but someone who watches as much indie wrestling as I have, he's done the exact same stick for 2 years. Let's have this match. OI4K street fight. How about you have a match where holds aren't barred? How about that? You have to go back to NXT to find a match where he does that.
Hey, mate, so. Sometimes you just got to roll with what works. Like Barry the Shark and Nez Music over wrestling accidents.
You. The Rock arrives. Right on time. To interrupt the segment.
Gotta get up.
Road Dogg says... Is there, and the partner goes, look, I just want to say, I hate your guts. And DX beat him up it's a muggin' in the car park. Then The Rock gets locked in the trunk, very unceremoniously, and driven off.
Thanks for coming, Rock.
Last to show up, first to leave.
Nobody is putting a shift in, with the exception of who comes out shortly.
Welcome to Monday Morning SmackDown.
Everybody's half-arsed it.
After the break, Kevin Kelly interviews DX, and they do the, we're taking over. And you're like, oh, you are being serious with this.
They're really pushing the we're taking over thing.
This isn't your dad's DX.
That's in 2006.
Oh, no.
That's
2010.
That's still to come, dad's
2009.
DX. Dad Generation X.
Dad Generation. But it's like Fred Dursing in My Way in his mid-30s. But never mind that. The Bulldog and Mean Street Posse. Oh, they're here to take on DX.
We're taking over!
Woo.
I wanted Bulldog and the Posse to try and take over.
Monday night, woo. Taking over.
Right, I know that Test lost to the Bulldog on Raw.
Oh, we get more clips from that.
Yeah.
And would you believe it? Test couldn't win this match, even with an elbow drop off the top of the cage.
Phenomenal.
And why is that? Because he's Test, Telm. Anyway, British Bulldog is wrestling D'Lo Brown for the European title.
Battle of the finest European champions of all time.
Oh, God.
About to go down.
Because we all know if there's anybody that can protect a man as fragile as British Bulldog from injury, it's D'Lo Brown. God, do I feel bad saying that.
Oh, God.
But it's there.
Oh.
It cannot be unmentioned. God, I feel bad saying that. I'm sorry.
D'Lo and Bulldog.
I don't feel bad for any of the Percocet jokes I made about Bulldog, but I feel bad about that.
You better recognise versus Wigan.
You better recognise versus who are you?
Yeah! Oh, yeah. Bulldog takes a hell of a bump off a clothesline at the start, and I worry for him.
Yeah.
Every time Bulldog lands on his back, I feel like he's about to snap.
D'Lo does a dive over the ropes on the Bulldog, and PCO in 2019 looks in better shape than him. Anyway, the Mean Street Posse continuously distract D'Lo Brown.
Can we just point out that we're still at a point, despite the fact that the draws thing happened, D'Lo Brown, notwithstanding the draws thing, should have been a world champion.
Yeah.
In my eyes.
Yep.
He should have been very much at the front when it came to becoming a WWF champion in 99.
Yeah.
I always... That was my Bulldog impression. I was always a massive fan of D'Lo Brown, like as a younger wrestling fan. And I genuinely feel like he didn't get what he deserved in the sense of like a run as WWF champion. I'd love that. I'd have bought that.
Yeah, I'm interested as to... Anyway, we'll get on to the rest of the match. I completely agree with everything Tom just said. And like I said, Mean Street Posse do not agree with what Tom just said. So they continuously distract D'Lo Brown. So Bulldog and his wet ass can take over. Even with a Rodney sneak attack, Bulldog can't get the win with the running power slam because it's not 1991 anymore. Crowd doesn't care about any of this, sadly. Not even about D'Lo, which is a very rough ending with D'Lo Brown intercepting the title being thrown in by the Mean Street Posse. But Bulldog takes it off him anyway and then decks him with it. Then D'Lo Brown kicks out of it anyway. Whatever. Don't know what happened there. Look, Bowling Shoe Ugly, as someone likes to say. Somehow, D'Lo does the running powerbomb successfully on Bulldog. More interference. Superplex. New champion. Bulldog beats D'Lo Brown with Greg the Hammer Valentine's finishing move.
God. And briefly, Lex Luger's finishing move in the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
This was a shame. This match was a shame in every sense.
I don't know why you would give this man a title. He makes Bret Hart in 2010 look like modern-day Ricochet.
And why would you give him a top rope superplex as a finish? My back's knackered. What's your finish going to be? Superplex off the top rope! Crumbs!
The Mean Street Posse immediately put the new champ on their shoulders because British Bulldog probably couldn't get up of his own accord after taking such a horrific bump. And D'Lo Brown loses some momentum.
He loses a lot of momentum.
Maybe he did this deliberately because I don't remember him doing much around this time. But we'll see in the next few weeks.
He was really lost in the shuffle, like in 99. Like, it was in this year, lest we forget, the year of our Lord. That he was the Eurocontinental champion. And here he is losing via superplex to Bulldog. I hate the superplex as a finishing move. I hate it. It's a transition. It's a high impact transition move.
If he modernized it and made it the stalling superplex, that could have been a thing.
Maybe that's what he wanted to do and then realized, oh, I forgot I'm effed. Just get him down quick. Brett, done, bye. Brett, I'm effed. D'Lo, I'm effed.
The bell hasn't rung yet.
So Bulldog is now where is my title shot? You had your title shot. You're now the European champion.
Yeah.
Like what? Like 2 weeks ago, like Bulldog probably has underpants that he hasn't washed since he was feuding with The Rock. And now he's the European champion flanked by the Mean Street Posse.
That was a hell of a line. I wasn't ready for that one. That's a good... Write that down. That's a teaser.
Why not use it in the Cultaholic podcast?
So yeah, Mean Street Posse put him on the shoulder and go, title shot, title shot.
I got my title shot. Where's my title? This is during the years where British Bulldog just had a bit of memory loss. Hey. Where's my title? Actually, it's just funny. Do you know what? It's funny that an amnesia storyline was built around the phrase, where's my title shot?
Do you remember?
It's a bit cerebral, that. Get amongst it.
Was it Road Dogg's shirt? Somebody in DX had the shirt, down where? Down here. It's like, where's my title shot? There's my title shot. European title right around his waist.
Well, did John Cena had a T-shirt,
oh,
which was
the worst shirt. Oh,
I wanted Bulldog to have a T-shirt with the WWF title on it.
And a hat with a bin. Is that the party backstage line? Hey, who am I? What's been up with that? Ooh, Test, who are you? Bulldog, that's not very funny.
Lugs!
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
X-Pac talks to Kane.
Oh, this
and reassures
cool.
him women are not a thing. Bros before hoes, that's, Kane. And
this
Kane goes,
is what's tight. We're bros.
And Kane goes,
is Kane a dial-up internet?
Yeah, that's what I was going for. And then we get... Go on, Tom.
Welcome to AOL.
Lugs.com.
You have email.
Have you considered Lugs? That's right, email's Torture 99.
The Lugs Boot of the Week.
Sponsored the Lugs Boot.
It's all in the hugs. Lugs.
I was made for Lugs and you, baby. Lugs officially endorses the DX takeover of WWF.
Yeah.
Lugs, the only thing you have to lose are your chains, comrades.
We at Lugs, we are all about rising up against the proletariat. So we support the rebel D-Generation X taking over the company.
That's right. If Chairman Mao needed sneakers for his hot basketball game, he'd buy Lugs. Moving on. The Dudley Boys are taking on X-Kane because Dudley's attacked them on Raw. Why? Doesn't matter. Don't worry about that. The important thing is Kane beats up both of them. God, I forgot how good Bubba was at taking flat back bunks off of anything. He would jump at the exact right time, Even if you go, wait, doesn't make sense. You go, nothing makes sense. It's wrestling.
He was solid at timing with stuff.
Yeah, he'd jump up at the right time, so boom, lots of impact. No wonder the acolytes liked him. And beating them both up, Yeah, Kane, House on Fire. Oh, I was going to say House on Fire. Like, sorry about that, Kane.
No. The amount of times they have referred to, like, Kane's on fire! Kane's on fire!
God, Kane, I'm so sorry. Until X-Pac jumps off and gives him a low blow.
Dissension! Smellness.
Kane sells it, and then seems confused. Like, why? Why, Brutus?
Why did that hurt?
Et tu, Brute. And doesn't matter, Dirty Boys pin him. And then all of the X show up to beat him up some more. Crowd very not happy with this. X-Pac gets a mic and says, he's sick of carrying you, you piece of crap. So I tell you what, winning that four corners match at the pay-per-view was the boost of self-esteem he was desperately needed.
Is that what we're linking this back to? Like the whole, like, he won the four corners match that made him feel good so much so that he became a member of DX again.
There's something there to go, look, I'm sick of carrying you. I know, like, 2 weeks ago it was like, I'm sorry for being the weak link, but now he beat Bradshaw, he's like, I'm the tits me.
Yeah.
And I guess this makes sense because how are you going to have X-Pac, is he friends with Kane? Whereas all of the X are now super evil guys. Maybe it could have worked, but I don't think they wanted that focus. Or maybe they thought that the Kane-X-Pac thing had been played out. Crowd isn't happy with this. Crowd is like, no, we like this. This was a nice storyline.
We enjoyed this.
Like all good things, has to come to an end. So,
Bless you.
I could see, like I said, this DX now is to put up, like the Mean Street Posse with Bulldog, is to put up Triple H at the high level. So they can't have any distractions. So, yeah, okay, fair enough. Meanwhile, the Hardy Boys and their mum come out to wrestle. I know you haven't seen this, so I'm very happy. I know I've got like a sneeze hanging in my nose, but I don't care. I'll just fight through it.
But it's Hardy Boys. Oh,
no, Tom, I've got to tell you. It's Viscera and Mark Henry. Wait. I know the last time you watched this, Mark Henry was teaming up with the Godfather, and the Godfather was piling on hose like coal into a steam train.
Yeah, I thought that was still the story.
On Raw, Viz, it's not shown, it's talked about. Viscera was wrestling the Godfather and decided, you know what? I'm getting in the pimping business. So he has his own skanky hose.
That's why they were skanky.
That's right, that's right. I thought that was weird.
He's like the Aldi to Godfather's Waitrose.
That's right.
That's incredible.
Henry is a quantity, not quality guy.
Oh.
So Henry turned on the Godfather, who has literally saved him from therapy 2 weeks ago, Tom, to join up with Viscera's skanky, nasty hoe division.
But thing is, right, I get it, because sometimes, like, you can buy a sandwich for £3.50. Or you can buy a bag of Greg sausage rolls for £1. And sometimes you just want a bag of sausage rolls. And regardless of the... Matthew liked that joke so much, he honked.
I know. Where did that come from? Honestly, I'm very sorry for that. That goose that started to go, wait, this sounds really exciting. What happened? I'll tell you, Goose and Tom. Let's get to the end of the show.
I'm now looking at the skanky house.
Tom. Tom is catching up with the SmackDown.
This is amazing.
And seeing what the women look like.
This is a great storyline. Like, to the point where they're a bit clumsy, like getting in and out of the ring. Like, I don't know how deliberate that is, but it's hilarious.
Look, they've
got... Oh, man. Like, this is body shaming 101, and we don't support it in any way. But the whole idea of Viscera trying to get Mark Henry on side by saying, look, I've got a buy one, get one free offer. Come on over.
Henry's eyes just light
like,
up.
Like, ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Like, that's ace. Oh, I'm here for that. I'm here for that.
We've got three words for you. All you can eat. Mark Henry is turned into a half man, half fox. Creature. Hubba hubba.
Is it a bit like when you're really hungry after several drinks and you're like, do you know what? There's that chicken place in town where it's like, I wouldn't eat there during the day, but I'm battered and I really need some sustenance and this tastes like food of the gods today.
That's right. I feel like some food poisoning. Let's get the end of the show that we do, Tom, and go, I do not remember the dueling pimp business storyline that happened in 99.
I don't recall this either. This is great.
This was like watching this for the first time.
I want, right, John. John.
Hello, John.
Can you please...
It was not a skanky hoe.
No, he's a wonderful hoe. John. John Eiley. Photoshop John Eiley. Hi, John. How you doing, mate? See you soon. Love beer for Christmas. John, I would like you, right, big project this, eyes wide. Can you design the front page of the GeoCities website for Viscera's skanky hoe business? I'd like to know what geocities.com/Viscera's skanky hoes look like. Now, if I don't retweet it, it's not personal. I don't probably need that on my timeline.
Tommy's going to request something that his reputation cannot retweet on his social.
Knowing that my mum sometimes looks at my Twitter.
I'll retweet the frig out of it.
Matthew Gregg, however, who has a much wider wrestling following than I, will happily retweet it.
Oh, my followers love all hosts, skanky, one-legged pirate.
I love how those are the three go-to flavours. Skanky, one-legged pirate.
Let me tell you, Tom, I can tell you not had a good night out in Bishop Auckland. Speaking of skanky hoes.
You face some good women and monocles.
I'll very briefly tell this story, but I do
please
enjoy
do,
it.
Mate.
One of my friends, he's not going to listen to this. I hope to cry.
Oh, doggy in town!
No, it's not him. It's not him.
It's
no.
Doggy, okay.
Don't mention anybody in real life. For the love of God. Let's call him John. No, not that John.
John!
No, a different...
Were you a skanky hoe on a night out in Bishop Auckland?
F it. Let's call him Mark Henry. Mark Henry.
Okay, Mark Henry. Mark Henry.
Mark Henry. He wasn't... He's not very with it with women. So he... This is really the bit that people are going to retweet and bug me about for age.
Mark Henry isn't very with it with women.
Right. And we found out that he would see women of the night. And right. We're like, go on, do you. Go on, tell it to us. Anyway... All right. I'm like, you loser, do it. Because obviously we're all stud muffins. But compared to him, we were like Rick Rude. So we're like, ha. And he went, yeah. And what do you do? And he went, well, go here. Da-da-da. They do this. And all right. He goes, really? And then she makes me a spag bol. And this is the most County Durham thing I could think of. Those lads went, she makes you food as well. Have you got a number? It was like, refer a friend. Lola is not impressed. One attempts to go through the ropes and Lola yells, time for Mission Impossible.
Oh, for God's sake, Lola. Sorry, Lola, Rick Rude over there.
Terry distracts Mark Henry. Clearly a stickler for quality. And because of this, to cut a long story short, not much of it exciting, the Hardy Boys win. And bear in mind, Viscera has just spent his money on this... Building up a GeoCities website. Thanks, John.
Jesus. Yeah,
finding these animals of the night.
These animals of the night! Oh, yeah. These are real women.
The bumping uglies, literally.
There'll be some of these women who have lives now.
Yeah. To do all this, to get like the hot topic Mark Henry, because he's so good they have to fight over him. And he spent all this money, and they zoom in on Viscera's face. This is like... Oh, for Christ's sake.
Like Viscera's grand plan. Viscera's grand plan was to set up a hoe industry so him and Mark Henry could win a tag match.
And they didn't win.
So therefore... And instead of going, okay, we can go back to the drawing board on this, he's like, no, forget it. The project's over. Project cancelled. Yeah.
So he's really upset that, and maybe, one night with this will make it hurt when you piss. As... Not gone according to plan.
Did you make that up?
I did.
Oh, and my God, that's amazing.
Some of these things you can't make up. And so Henry loses, so Vicious turns on him and leaves with, Chris Farley and the rest.
All right, if you're...
Oh, my favourite.
If you are one of Viscera's hoes and you're listening to this, I'm really sorry for the comments made by Matthew.
They're all
Gray.
Dead.
They might not all be dead.
No, Viscera made sure.
Oh, Christ.
After that, DX are told by some old dude, the guy at the end of Home Alone with the shovel, that Austin has arrived. And then, God help them, Big Boss Man. Are you all right, Tom?
I'm just still thinking about the fact that Fisher has set up a...
Have you got it on the SmackDown?
Oh, God, because my battery's died. Fisher has set up a prostitute business so he can win a tag match. And he hired, like, the... the skankiest one.
Yeah.
Oh,
he had to, like,
wrestling is...
He had to put, like, a packet of cigarettes on the floor with a giant tarp above the ring and all this. He's, like, hiding in a bush nearby going, here they come. So, six-pack of White Claw.
Wrestling is so daft.
Some paracetamol. No, Bulldog, no.
It sounds like a storyline that they would have written for, like, a wrestling game.
Yes.
But in real life.
The dueling pimping bit. Oh, they could have done so much money with... Well, maybe not. And then...
Do we have to add Viscera? Do we have to add Ho Viscera, a Pimp Viscera, to our tiered list?
If he won a match, yes.
Can we did during the No Mercy watch along, we did the tiered list of Viscera / Nelson Fraser gimmicks. Do we have to add Pimp Viscera?
How bad was Mark Henry feeling going, Godfather, what did you want? Have you got any of them, some hose?
Have you got any cranberry juice?
Any hose lying around?
I've got terrible cystitis.
Oh, God, what the fuck?
Piss. Piss made it hurt when I piss.
Have you got any leeches for this?
Got any leeches for this?
Why? Who's just come to the ring? The Royal. Why does it hurt when I pee?
It's Mark Henry.
I think he's doing well in that wheelchair.
Oh, God.
All right, we're moving on. We're going to be here forever. I'm sorry, ladies. Look, we're having fun. Big Boss Man versus Al Snow. The feud gets recapped, so Power Slam magazine can remember to include it in their PS50. Shave your back chance for Prince Albert, who's accompanied Big Boss Man. That's, you know, get used to them, mate. At this point, you should be happy they're not shouting about his 140-pound head.
He's got a massive head, isn't it?
And this match is nothing because of what we've just seen with Viscera, and they're just still distraught. The people at the ring are still going, you seen how bad Viscera looked there? Albert distracts them by banging something metallic against the ring steps. Thankfully, knowing Prince Albert, it's only Big Boss Man's stick.
That's fine.
Could have been a variety of things. Al Snow loses because he's Al Snow. And Al Snow gets on the mic and says, I'm not shocked I lost because of the upage and medication I've had. Oh, there we go. And he feels he's let everyone down, but he still considers himself to be the crown prince of hardcore. He'll challenge them both to a handicap match in the parking lot right now. Jumps off in the crowd, legs it there. Crowd are going, go on, follow them. And Boss Man, and they go, nah, you're all right. Go the other way.
Oh, you're kidding. So they don't go and join him?
Just wait, Tom.
Oh, okay.
And I've even typed down in my notes. Are you sitting down, Tom?
I'm sitting down, mate. Are you going to blow my mind again? Because I've barely recovered from Viscera the Pimp.
I'm very sorry that I've had, like, go, and then you've tried talking. Like, I just want to talk about how great this episode is. I'm so energetic and furious.
I am going to be quiet for this bit, and I'm going to let you get everything out that you need to get out, and I won't talk until it's time for me to talk.
That will work.
Go for it, my man.
We immediately go from that. We cut, almost like a jump cut, a scare cut, if you will, in films, to Road Dogg in the parking lot. And he is wearing a bear trap. An effing bear trap across his... And it is so ridiculous. Austin shows up, and I thought the joke would be... Austin's like, my God, Road Dogg, how are you okay? That looks horrible. Is your leg still okay? And then Road Dogg's like, psych, it's a fake one, and they all beat him up. No. Austin goes up to him, is completely unconcerned. He's like, he treats Road Dogg like he's selling a big issue. And he says, whatever, pours beer on him, wanders off, and just goes, well, I hope you and the rest of the DX lads like this, because I've booby-trapped the arena.
Stone Cold Kevin McAllister.
Yeah, the old man from Home Alone is here. He's the backup with a shovel.
I like the idea of maybe Triple H walking into a dressing room and getting his head scorched by a flamethrower and then hit with a can of paint.
But not immediately realising and turning the guy, X-Pac, is it hot in here? So again, just the sight of Road Dogg with a bear trap. a giant mechanical, brutal-looking bear trap, and everyone went, I'm like, this is the best and craziest episode of SmackDown.
This is unreal. So they're really...
The recap of all the good things in this episode will be as long as the episode itself, Tom.
They are owning the fact Austin... Thank you, mate. They're owning the fact that Steve Austin is into his hunting. Is it a relatively new thing that Steve Austin's got into hunting? In the same way that when my dad took up golfing, like, we all bought him golfing presents for Christmas because we were just so happy for him to have a hobby that we could, you know, buy presents for him with.
Right,
like, is it just the fact that Steve Austin's just started, like, going hunting, so they've got, we need to incorporate this into his character almost immediately and with as big effect as possible?
Yes, because it means less bumping on his neck from borrowed time.
And also, we're very deep into the episode for Steve Austin to suddenly start booby-trapping the arena.
We are staring immediately in the abyss midway. Bossman and Albert leave the arena and they get in their rental car together. It's nice that wrestlers share that, you know, how expensive they can be, because they don't want any of Al Snow. Mm. They get in the car. They shut the door. Big Show shows up on a forklift and rams it. To prevent them from leaving the car and also possibly giving them CT and whatever. Big Show has very cleverly pointed out, realized that car is next to a ledge. It goes above the ledge and pushes, I quote the commentators who know more about this than myself, a 2-ton dumpster onto the car and kills Big Boss Man and Prince Albert.
This is the second time in about 3 weeks that a member of the roster has been pushed off a ledge.
I'm just shaking my head in disbelief.
Oh, yes, I thought you were telling me it happened since then.
Yeah. So the 2-ton dumpster on top of the car, because they're trapped because of the forklift, and we know if you put a forklift in the right position, you can't get out. Bossman stamps on it a bit first because he's big. He goes, Dad's watch. And he just, 2-ton dumpster just goes through it like a knife through butter.
Do you know what's
They're
funny?
They're dead.
Do you know what's funny?
You are underselling Big Boss Man Prince Albert's death more than I was expecting, Tom.
No, but here's the thing. Because I know where this goes. This is really
You don't. No, they're dead. It goes to the cemetery.
And you know what happens to the cemetery, don't you? We got that to look forward to. This is... Right. This is barely the foreplay. Of the Big Show Boss Man rivalry. This is
the wink.
This is the wink that possibly leads to heavy petting. Like, this is nowhere near where we get with this.
This is the message that says WUU2.
This is the text that says your Amazon Prime order of chains has arrived.
Oh, Christ.
Your Amazon Prime order of fluffy handcuffs has arrived. We are barely beginning with these two. This dalliance.
After the break, Tom, Mankind is
walking... I can't cope with anymore.
Oh, God. Mate, just... You have paid for the seat, but you only need the edge of it.
This is... Everything you've heard is the first 20 minutes of SmackDown.
Absolutely insane. Mankind is walking backstage. He passes a doorway and he laughs at it. And the coach is like, what's he laughing at? We look... Billy Gunn has been snared and is hanging from the ceiling. Steve Austin shows him and goes, ha, 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 I caught you. And Gunn's like, let me down. He just leaves him.
Of course he does.
Maybe the craziest few segments on a WF broadcast. Not since Gatti Ward has there been a crazier bunch of combos thrown right at you. Oh, not over yet. Rescue of the Week. Brought to you by the U.S. Coast Guard.
Wow. Okay. So this is endorsed by the U.S. Coast Guard. And it's the rescue of the week.
I think they were very careful with this. It's Mankind's wrestling Triple H for the title on Raw. Mankind has the Mandible Claw on Triple H. He's about to win. New champ. Val Venus hits him with a chair. So that's the very... Did this work? Yeah, whatever. Thanks for the money, U.S. Coast Guard. Boy, I feel like calling the US Coast Guard after watching that.
I was kind of hoping the rescue of the week would have been Big Show dropping Boss Man and Albert off a forklift. Oh no, they found the forklift! That was your Coast Guard rescue of the week! Because it makes as much sense as the boot of the week, the slam of the week, the the
death
kaboom
of
the week. This the insert product reference of the week, brought to you by product endorsement.
Paracetamol of the week, brought to you by Bulldog. Val Venus versus Mankind is now on SmackDown.
Yay!
Venus with a sexy man voice runs down Foley's issues. You want the respect of the people. Venus should do more promos with that sexy voice.
Did he do all his promos with this voice?
He stopped doing it so much the last few weeks, but now it's back. But you're expecting, as I've done this, but the pun was like, no, Foley, you want the respect of the people, but you'll never get it. And he's there basically to plug the book, like, your book is on the bestseller list, Pat Crowd. Yay, we bought it. But I'd like to remind you, I am the biggest up-and-comer.
Girl. Oh, he's really pushing this up-and-comer line, isn't he? Mm-hmm.
However, the crowd doesn't give a flying toss about this match.
Oh,
after
mate.
All we've just seen, with a dumpster being tossed onto Bossman and Albert, snared Billy Gunn, bear trap Road Dogg, and Viscera thinking, if I burn it now, can I get the insurance? Or should I wait a bit? The crowd is absolutely numb to this. I don't blame them. Venus also works over Mankind most of the match with like holds. It's mat based. Crowd's like, wow, that's exactly what I want from a Mankind Val Venus match. Sweet. So let's probably just skip ahead there. Lawler does point out, oh, it's all right, ladies and gentlemen. Prince Albert and Bossman have been attended to a nearby medical facility. They're okay. There's no way that, obviously the one in the car, but there's no way that shot with, there's nothing after the car that they were sat in. It's like, they're okay. It's okay, ladies and gentlemen. Like, what?
They fell off the floating island, just got bandages on them.
Thank you. Lawler describes Venus as smart because of all the detailed plots and storylines of the films he needed to memorize.
That's quite a good line from Lawler,
like,
I thought.
Exactly. Did you not see him on Golden Blonde? That's a classic, like, porn title. Though.
That's great, that is. That is great.
All the other great ones, like Shaving Riven's Private.
Sex Toy Story, which I thought was quite lazy.
Sex
but still,
Toy,
sex
not
toy Story.
One. There was one for Flipper that was just floppy.
What was going to be sentences ready? I thought Flipper was just going to be fucker. What's that, fucker? You want to put him in a...
Never get the Stallone classic, Ramboner. Moving on. Al Snow shows up to assist Mankind and also to ask for an alibi when the police come and investigate him for attempted murder.
Oh, God, yeah, because he was there, wasn't he?
You let that... Snow, we watched SmackDown. You did say come meet in the park. No. Your Honor, I don't know. However, he comes out and the only one who can save Mankind from the dreaded chinlock of Val Venus is Al Snow, who brings Socko. So he gives him that, gives him Socko. 1, 2, 3, yay. Also, Mankind are friends again.
Yeah, so this builds to something rather interesting, and it it builds to some of Al Snow's highest times in the WWF as well. Which
by default,
it's part of this push by the WWF to try out a lot of younger guys, and which is what makes this time frame so interesting is that there is equal measures hits and misses.
Right, they Al Snow, Val Venus, not you, Test.
Bulldog. Toto.
Stone Cold Liam Neeson rings up X-Pac. Can we get the shot of the DX locker room? And X-Pac's like, who is this? We can hear Austin's voice, obviously. Austin says, keep reaching for the stars. The ceiling tile lands on him. And knocks him out dead.
I was hoping he'd keep reaching for the stars and then the whole arena blows up.
Oh, wrong button.
Everybody is dead, including Stone Cold Steve Austin.
DTA crowd. I might be funny, but it's a ceiling tile. Sounds a bit harsh after the bear trap.
Yeah, I mean, I think Steve Austin turned up with a whole lot of gimmicks and he went, right, okay, bear trap for Road Dogg. Tie up Billy Gunn. Oh, I need three. That tile can fall on him. Yeah. Like, no, it felt really half-hearted.
When I'll shoot X-Pac. Can I have a ceiling tile fall on
that'd me? That'd be the one where X-Pac walks into the dressing room and he's like, oh, there's no traps in here. Steve Austin with an AK-47. Bang!
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Slam of the week.
Your Coast Guard rescue of the week.
Dugga-dugga-dugga.
Coast Guard, rescue of the week.
US Coast Guard does not negotiate with terrorists. Just like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Anyway, I think they went, a ceiling tile, X-Pac, are you sure? And he went, yeah. How are we going to sell that? He goes, well, have Michael Cole say it weighs 200 pounds.
200, Jesus. Like, how is this building not caved in on itself?
Anyway, the final segment of the show, and thankfully, the walking wounded, DX, look like a World War One hospital, make their way to the ring.
It's a bit like the end of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Where all the people have been through all these horrible things and they're all leaving the factory, all wounded and battered, stretched and blown up.
The theme from Platoon is playing. First casualty of chocolate is innocence. Anyway, I am the game, etc. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm everything. Triple H talks for 3 minutes. He spends 3 minutes talking and talking. And he decides, all right, you know what? I'm going to call out Austin. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to give him 10. He counts to 10, no shows. And he misinterpreted, he was asked to lose to Mark Merrow. He's like, I've proved Austin is a cat. Smash! There he is. But it's Steve Austin comes out. Starts to insult them all, runs them all down. The highlight of this is badass Billy Gunn. They ought to call you dumbass Billy Gunn. And Dick's like, we don't care. We may be half dead, but we're still going to beat you. We're still in better condition than your neck. Come on. Austin says, yeah, right. Presses a button. And then Stone Cold Frank Castle makes a giant net appear from above the ring onto all of them. Austin is joined by Kane and The Rock. Don't know how he...
All the guys that were wronged by DX tonight.
Yeah, sorry, I mean, a car reverses its way down the ramp, gets in the ring and starts beating up and hits the people's elbow, beats up everyone, and presumably gives us a rather entertaining 6-man tag dark match. But that is your fill of the craziest SmackDown that we may ever see. But I can't wait till next week, Tom.
My
Holy
God.
Jesus.
I have so many questions about the way this company is run. Where you have Big Show arriving early and leaving early. You have The Rock arriving late and then not doing anything. You have Mark Henry having sex with prostitutes in one of the back rooms. And then there's Steve Austin, who hasn't wrestled tonight, but has just spent the night putting traps everywhere, including above the arena. Like... Where's the B footage of Austin putting down a bear trap, forgetting that there's a school trip happening at the same time? Which is, it could have happened.
Puts down a landmine. He's like, bang. He's like, aha, got you, Road. Oh, Joel Briscoe. Jesus. the rest is on the show. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
It was carnage. This show was carnage. SmackDown is carnage at the moment.
Yeah, I can't get
it. It's just carnage, yeah. And you know what? I'm addicted.
Because it all makes sense. It's all in its own little universe.
Yeah.
With Raw, it's like, this is happening because of this, and this because of this, and this person's now affiliated with this, blah, blah, blah. And it all fits.
It actually all makes sense.
And you can't miss a second. Or you'll miss the detail of Viscera setting up his own big pimping agency. I may have said that 3 times, but I'm going to say it again because I don't know what happens next.
I am never going to not think about that from now on.
His failed business venture. The Leftorium.
I think if Viscera's Leftorium.
Only a left-handed prostitute.
I think we go straight into things you forgot and we both say Viscera's pimping agency.
Yeah, that's it. There's no other contest.
I can't get over that was the thing. I love the fact that happened.
Oh, God.
What amazing. Something you remembered, though.
Ooh, X-Pac turning on Kane.
Yeah.
Because of a woman. I haven't got any detail about that, but that'll
all come out of the wash.
That seed will grow.
I remember Too Cool, and I remember seeing them and thinking, oh, they're just trying to tart up all these crap tag teams. Like Too Cool. I remember thinking that as a foolish youngster. I remember thinking how silly the Worm looked and who do, and like even Michael Cole did. And more fool us. Mate, Scotty Tiwati, a lot of money that Worm did. That was very much a silkworm. Hey.
That's such a good line. We're going to end it there, Tom, because
that's all
I've
right,
got nothing else. I am nearly sweating, like Mark Henry, from reminiscing about this insane episode of SmackDown.
He is at Matthew Gregg.
Tom is right there.
I am at Tom Campbell. Together we are at Cultaholic.
Why is it like that? Sorry.
Watch the Cultaholic podcast for Matthew's mum. Fall in love.
Oh, no.
Same way I did.
Oh, God.
Love you, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.